You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, I mean, this is a big issue, and it's an important one to have in an election year, because when you've got two of the three biggest political parties in Parliament being investigated by the Serious Fraud Office, you know you've got a problem. And of course, New Zealand, you know, has always, you know, featured highly as a, you know, supposedly corruption-free country. But, you know, I think we're starting to have a conversation now about, you know, the role of vested interests, of wealthy interests in politics, and, you know, who runs this country and what our democracy is about. And so, you know, yes, this is going to dent, I think, public confidence in the electoral process and even democracy to some extent. And but that is a good thing, because it means we will have this conversation about, you know, how we run our politics, how it operates, and we can start having some, yeah, search for solutions. And yeah, it raises all those questions about the role of the media, perhaps whether dirty politics is re-emerging, with the potential or alleged involvement with New Zealand First and Cameron Slater related blog with publishing attack stuff on the media. So yeah, there's lots of really meaningful issues. Although sometimes it seems like a scandal and lots of noise, I think there is a lot of meaningfulness in what's going on at the moment.
And I do want to get more into that conversation, I suppose, but just briefly, what are the main issues that have been raised with this scandal, I suppose, so far?
Well, it really is about the giving of donations to political parties, and the fact that we have rules in this country that are supposed to make those relatively transparent. And both people associated with New Zealand First and with National seem to be trying to get around those rules, trying to get very large donations transmitted to those parties without them being publicly declared. And, you know, there's lots of tricky things going on. And thanks to some, you know, perhaps leaking from those political parties, from, you know, various individuals, and a strong role from journalists, we're seeing that uncovered. And we're seeing that maybe the system's working in some respects, because we're seeing the police, or a form of the police in terms of the Serious Fraud Office, actually investigating. And so it's very difficult, of course, for, you know, politicians to deal with, you know, these problems. And, you know, at the moment, a lot of focus is on, you know, how New Zealand First are responding to this, how the Prime Minister and their coalition partners, such as the Greens, are dealing with it. And, you know, that is kind of becoming the story, which is fair enough, because this could have an impact on how people vote this year, and they want to know how, you know, Jacinda Ardern is dealing with this, and whether she is, you know, taking a hard line on this. And I think that's important, but ultimately they're going to be bigger issues about, yeah, the role of money and vested interests in politics.
Yeah, and that's because ultimately what keeps being said too is that nothing so far that we can see, nothing illegal has occurred, and it is, like you say, people trying to get around these rules to work more in their favour. So in terms of that conversation that is necessary to have, and that you hope will be had, how do we actually ensure that that conversation will happen?
I mean, yeah, electoral law is really complicated, and I think that could be one of the things that will stop this conversation being more, you know, wide amongst the public, because it gets all very, you know, sometimes abstract and detailed, and, you know, a lot of us don't understand the law, myself included, in lots of ways, and I can't quite work out to what extent the law has been broken here, or people are getting around it by using certain devices. So, you know, for example, when the National Party has received these donations that have been broken down, they haven't actually been prosecuted by the Serious Fraud Office. It's the people making the donations that have been prosecuted so far. And, you know, it is very complicated. But nonetheless, you know, we're just, I follow the media very closely, and I, you know, can just see that there's a huge amount of reporting on this at the moment. And there does seem to be public interest and public concern about it as well. So I think we are already having those conversations. But it's also difficult because we kind of look to the politicians themselves to lead this debate. You know, that's normally how politics works. You know, if there's an issue coming up, maybe it's around housing, maybe it's around climate change, we look to, you know, the MPs to, you know, kind of lead the way and have different points of view. It's a bit more difficult with political donations and political finance, because those are the people that are centrally involved, interested parties in that debate, because they are the ones that are, in this case, being, you know, involved in trials and investigations, or they are the ones that are trying to come up with legislation or rules that, you know, might fix this problem, or might actually be self-interestedly, you know, trying to help their own party. So we should always be a bit wary of the politicians, and about, especially if they come up with kind of, you know, simplistic solutions to all this, or if they want to sort of ignore this or hide the problem away.
And on the note of politicians, I guess let's deal with the party responses. So the first and foremost, New Zealand First, in terms of their response to this. I mean, we have a regular slot with them every week, but we've definitely found it hard to speak to them recently. And anything regarding the political donations issue, they are saying that nobody can speak on it except for the party leader. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I guess that's not terribly surprising, and that's what increasingly we're seeing in modern politics, that when contentious issues come up, you know, there's a very tight control around MPs and people involved in the party, and it's really the spin doctors that are controlling the messaging, and, you know, the leaders are very tight in keeping to a script. Of course, Winston Peters, you know, in some ways, he's kind of got two messages that he's coming out with at the moment in response to these investigations. One is that he's relaxed about it and he welcomes the serious fraud office, you know, being involved, and you know, he doesn't, on the face of it, you know, resent any of that. But then he's really blaming the media. So, you know, again, I think that's going to be his approach from now on. Where he came out yesterday and he did the Facebook, you know, a second Facebook video dialogue, saying that the media are lying and that he's going to start telling some truths about the media, you know, basically sort of, you know, making threats about, I think, journalists. And of course, we've seen his, you know, allegedly New Zealand First involvement with that Cameron Slater blog. And so I think the media is going to be targeted as being against New Zealand First, and that, you know, this is all a conspiracy to try and, you know, bring down New Zealand First, and, you know, that, so they're kind of making that anti-establishment line that they are the victims here of some sort of dark forces of people that don't want, you know, the truth tellers in Parliament, etc. So, you know, it's very interesting.
But there's also been a huge kind of focus from them on the journalists, which, you know, it just seems to me that the journalists are doing their job. And had it not been for this investigation, the SFO, like, they wouldn't be involved in New Zealand First right now.
That's right. And so, I mean, there's always a healthy tension between politicians and the media. We should never expect, you know, kind words to be said by politicians about the media, or them to, you know, I think the reverse problem is a bigger one when they get on too well, and that, you know, gallery journalists and investigative reporters are sort of, you know, having a cosy relationship with Winston Peters or other party leaders. In this case, you know, I think it's quite good that, I wouldn't say it's necessarily good, but it's a sign of a healthy situation that there's that tension there. And but it is. It's also a worry when you're seeing Winston Peters, you know, targeting politicians and potentially intimidating them. But, you know, yesterday when he was asked about, you know, some of these issues, he played, you know, the Radio Gaga music in front of journalists as his response. And that was kind of rather lame, I thought. And it kind of showed, yes, he's trying to have a go at the media, but he hasn't really got anything particularly powerful to, you know, to throw at the media, apart from kind of silly sort of gimmicks like that. Mm. So, yes, we should be worried about politicians kind of targeting and maybe intimidating journalists, but they don't seem to have anything particularly nasty or scary at the moment to throw at them.
And so your latest column, you also pointed out that the Labour Party and the Green Party have been fairly silent on the matter, and I suppose questioning whether this puts them in a kind of unethical position in all of this. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's no rules about this, and, you know, it's up to Labour and the Greens to decide whether they take a harder line on New Zealand First, and you know, these donations and the way that New Zealand First are operating, especially with, you know, this photographing of journalists and their relationship with this Cameron Slater blog. You know, but in the past, certainly, I think both those parties would have been much more outspoken in condemning Winston Peters and New Zealand First for these donation scandals. And so it is, I find it a bit disappointing that they're not more outspoken. But of course, they do have a difficult dilemma because they are in coalition with New Zealand First. And, you know, that's not a small thing, because if they start criticising Peters and his colleagues, you know, Peters is a very prickly politician and he's volatile, and he may want to destabilise this coalition, you know, as a result. You know, he could even potentially bring down the government if he was under too much stress from his coalition partners. And I guess for Labour and the Greens, that's a bigger risk, and that they don't want that to happen. But yeah, I think it does make them somewhat complicit in what's going on with New Zealand First strategy on all this. And yeah, I think that is worth pointing out.
Rather than, like you said before, in terms of the need for politicians to kind of stand up and take the lead in this time.
Yeah, because that's what we look for. And I mean, there's all sorts of different dynamics going on. Even the National Party, yes, they're kind of going hard against New Zealand First, but they themselves, I think, are holding back some of their criticisms because their own party is under this cloud of the Ceres Ford office, you know, court trial against donations to their party, you know, so they don't have clean hands at the moment, necessarily. And so, you do need the opposition to be able to be, you know, relatively ethically healthy as well, and it's not entirely clear that that's the case.
I've just heard or seen or read that in the four national members, they're not MPs, but they're part of the National Party, who are currently under investigation by the SFO, three of them actually want their name suppression lifted. I was wondering if you had anything to say about that.
So there's the four individuals that have been charged, and they'll be going to trial in the court in Auckland. And they had their names suppressed. We don't know who they are. National has come out, or Simon Bridges has come out and said these people aren't in the National Party. They're not office holders from National. They're not National MPs. And so, you know, we have to presume that at least most of them, if not all of them, are people that have made donations to the National Party. But we don't exactly know. There's, you know, all sorts of rumours that go around about who else might be being charged, but we just don't know. Yes, three of them are making that very unusual approach to the court to get their name suppression lifted. And I see they're working with a PR company in doing this. There's PED PR, who are obviously advising them on this. And maybe it is a wise strategy to take away some of the murkiness around this, especially if they do have a strong defence. And but it's incredibly surprising to see that they want the name suppression lifted.
Yeah, that it just adds a whole new element once. Yeah. Anyway, I guess my final question is around, you talked earlier about there being perhaps this kind of, I mean, the conversation is already happening, like you say, and perhaps the possibility then for change to occur or some sort of policy implementation, some kind of regulating of political donations, whatever might come of this.
Yeah.
But in terms of the negative side of it, do you think that there would be a kind of increased sense of disillusionment with parliamentary politics? Do you think we would see people kind of further disengaging with the conversation, and that being a concern, especially in an election year?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that these sort of scandals will have an effect of undermining confidence in the political process, undermining confidence, you know, that electoral finance, you know, rules are working. It's going to increase skepticism or at least suspicions that wealthy invested interests are kind of dominating the system and buying policy or so forth. But I think it's also likely to produce some sort of anger and some discontent that might encourage some people to get more involved in politics and to vote the bastards out or get more politicised, and that would be a good thing. We certainly need a bigger conversation about these things, and it just starts bringing up some of those other issues about the big policy issues in society around inequality, poverty, climate change, the housing crisis, about why those things aren't being fixed. And now we have this narrative, which I personally sort of generally subscribe to, that we have a lot of vested interests in wealthy individuals that are preventing some of those solutions being kind of progressed further. And so that, I think, is something that will hopefully get people agitated and get people more inclined to be political rather than just feeling defeated about all this.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.